Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Ball comes out of the Bills. Scoop it up. It is Denora Searcy with the football. And he's into the end zone for the touchdown.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
This is pandemonium!
Touchdown! E.J. Manuel did it all the way down the field!
This is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the podcast on The John Murphy Show for Tuesday, November 12th. Good evening. Thanks very much for tuning in. We've got hockey tonight on the radio, so podcast tonight, and we've got a pretty good show lined up for you here tonight. Going to review a little bit more of the Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll hear from the Buffalo locker room, from head coach Doug Marrone, and some of the players. We'll take a look at the news around the NFL today. And we're also going to hear from Steve Palazzolo. He is an analyst and writer for ProFootballFocus.com, the outstanding website that applies football analytics to every single game, every single team, every single player in the NFL. Steve Palazzolo will join us in a moment or two to talk about the Bills and the Steelers, the grades on that game. The Bills apparently, and it was pretty obvious if you watched it, got a great game from Marcell Dareus. And it's good, I think, to see the grades applied to what we've already seen with our eyes as Bills fans or as people who follow this team. Steve Palazzolo will talk about that. He also has some thoughts on Thursday night football and why, perhaps, the games have been so sloppy and almost unwatchable for most of the season, NFL Thursday night football games. Steve Palazzolo has a theory about that. He'll join us in just a few minutes here on the podcast. We also want to talk a little bit about a couple of other things regarding the Bills in the NFL, but we thank you very much for joining us tonight. We've got a live radio show coming up tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that as we move along. We start with the news of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tire is the official tire of the Buffalo Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. Get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of 4 Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. Tuesdays, the quiet day for the players' day off. They are busy upstairs in the coaching suites, however, as the Buffalo Bills get together a game plan for the rematch with the New York Jets, the game the Bills lost back in Week 3. The Bills trying to turn it around as they still have some question marks injury-wise. They don't know if Stevie Johnson will be ready to play. They don't know if he'll be ready to practice tomorrow on Wednesday. They don't know if Robert Woods will be ready to play. Head coach Doug Marrone saying yesterday that he's going to wait and see and make a decision at some point this week whether to give Robert Woods an extra week to heal with his ankle injury and then give him the bye week the following week before he returns for the final 5 games of the season. That decision still to come this week. We do want to put the Pittsburgh Steelers game to bed. The Bills talking about that game a little bit when they got together yesterday with the media. And head coach Doug Marrone said when he met with the media yesterday that the Steelers in the game decided not to blitz as much as the Bills thought they would. The Pittsburgh Steelers known for the zone blitz, Dick LeBeau known for the zone blitz concept, and Marrone said they really were not throwing a lot of blitzes at the Bills or rookie quarterback E.J. Manuel.
They played a lot more coverage than they ever have. So a lot of times you sit here and you go, hey, young quarterback just coming back. You know, there's been times in the past where people have pressured us and it got him rattled and he didn't play that well. So you think you're going to see the same thing. Well, actually, we got the opposite. And that's where we have to do a better job, okay? And we do. You know, we have to get to things more often. We need to take advantage of some things, and you have to be able to adjust. Now, I've said this before. The more experienced you are, the older you are as a team, when you've been in the same system, it's easy, okay? The last NFL team I was on, we can go in there at halftime and put in plays that we had not run in practice for 2 to 3 weeks and go out there in the second half and run them and be efficient at them. Can we do that here? No, but we have to have that stuff available in our game plan because it was much different. Give them credit, okay? All right, they did some things that they did not show on tape prior to our game, which is not really anything that I've seen from Pittsburgh from when I was in the league or what I saw on film.
Head coach Doug Marrone talking about the Steelers, how they may have crossed the Bills up by not blitzing as much as the Bills thought they might in that game on Sunday. The Bills did not help themselves with the running game in Sunday's loss to the Steelers, really unable to get the running game going, which is, let's face it, the bread and butter of their offense. Fred Jackson, when he met with the media earlier this week, talked about what the Steelers were doing and how they were able to shut down the Buffalo running attack.
You know, one of the things that, you know, we noticed, or I noticed, you know, watching film is, you know, how some of the guys, you know, on defense, they were getting out of gaps and it was, you know, creating holes for teams and they were exploiting that. And, you know, in watching the film, the short amount that I did, you know, today, you know, their linebackers and defensive line did a tremendous job, you know, with gap integrity. You know, they were staying exactly where they needed to be. And anytime you get a defense that does that, it makes it hard to run the ball. And you can tell it was something they focused on all week. You know, you could tell they prepared for us, you know, after seeing what we did to Kansas City the week before. Something they wanted to focus on was stopping us running the ball.
EJ's taking a lot of heat.
I mean, it's unfair. You know, Ben, he's our quarterback. You know, that's going to happen. You know, quarterbacks take a lot of blame for, you know, losses and things like that. You know, as a team, we didn't play well, and that's not his fault. So, you know, we just have to – this has to be one of those games you kind of just flush. You know, we come in, we watch the film today, see what it is, we can correct. But, you know, at the end of the day, that wasn't the team we want to be, and that's not a team that we need to say – was us yesterday. We have to be able to flush this game. You know, we got a great opportunity this weekend with the Jets coming in to get a win, you know, get back in the winning column and, you know, head into a bye week and get some rest and get some guys rested. And I think that's what we need to focus on now. You know, not harp on what happened yesterday, but, you know, look to what we can get done, you know, with the remainder of the season.
The rest of the season, of course, six games starting with this Sunday against the New York Jets. That was Bills running back Fred Jackson talking about that. But overall, a very poor performance by the Buffalo offense on Sunday. It's still time to fix it, time to get the quarterback better, time to get the running game, which had been pretty reliable, back on track. It all starts up front, and the Steelers game was maybe the worst overall performance by the Buffalo offensive line so far this season. When he met with the media earlier this week, Bills center and captain Eric Wood was asked how it feels to lose that game and to look at the Bills record now with 3 wins and 7 losses.
It's really disappointing. You know, obviously this isn't where we want to be sitting. This isn't where we thought we'd be sitting. You know, we faced a lot of adversity this year, and I thought we've handled it well. You know, we just haven't pulled out close games, and then yesterday obviously wasn't a close one. But, you know, that's what kind of built to this 3-7 record.
Is there from outside this locker room, there's a sense the offense took a step back, regressed. What do you guys, how do you guys respond to that?
Yeah, we didn't play well. We didn't make enough plays, plain and simple. And I don't know if taking a step back is the appropriate word, but we didn't play well. And, you know, we definitely got some work to do.
Eric, with the run game, I know that Pittsburgh was talking all week about getting back to being solid fundamentally, and it looked like they were, for the most part, in terms of being gap sound and stuff. So what onus does that put on you when you're going against an opponent that's minding their P's and Q's in the run game?
Guys just got to do their job. You know, you got to make plays, and, you know, obviously we didn't score. You know, we scored late, but you know, we had some short fields early that we didn't take advantage of, and you know, we just got to make more plays, and that's all 11 guys. That's not one person. That's not a couple people. That's all 11.
Climbing to the second level, I mean, it looked to be tough at times. Is that because, you know, the linebackers were coming down and splitting you a little bit, or how? Maybe just assess that for me, because to the naked eye, it's kind of tough reading it on the fly. I'm just kind of curious as to what you thought about that on the plays where you had to get down, trying to get down on a linebacker.
Yeah, they did a good job of keeping us pretty lateral in our zones. You know, they got stout guys up front, and, you know, they did a good job. But, you know, and then the times we did got to the second level, we weren't necessarily eliminating guys very well. So, you know, we had some effective runs. We just couldn't put it together and put drives together, I felt like. And when we'd get down to a 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 3, we got to make more of those and stay on the field and you know, execute better.
What's the best way to get the rhythm back in the run game?
I mean, guys doing their job better. You know, I don't think there's a certain scheme. I don't know that there's a certain remedy. I think if we start making plays, the pass game opens up the run game. The run game opens up the pass game. When you're not doing either particularly well, you're going to struggle offensively. You know, you can't just go out there against a good defense and say, hey, it's cold, it's windy, we're going to run the ball down your throat this whole game. You know, they'll stack the box and force you out of it. We gotta make plays all together.
Well, we've seen it enough this year where you guys have strung. You know, you can almost see when this team gets in a rhythm with that run game. You know, things start rolling, yards start piling up. Do you guys feel good about getting that rectified, you know, heading into a Jets game with a pretty stout run front to face again?
Yeah, we're going to have a work cut out against us for us this week, too. And, you know, we got to get it going. And, you know, like I said, I don't think there's any magic formula other than just playing physical football up front and hitting the holes in the backfield and then making everybody making plays.
Bills center Eric Wood meeting with the media earlier this week. They're going to put the Pittsburgh game behind them and move on to the New York Jets, the rematch with the Jets coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. At last report, about 5,500 unsold tickets available for the game against the New York Jets on Sunday. Some of the other news around the NFL. Former Bills wide receiver Brad Smith, who was just released by the team last Friday, has hooked on with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bills released him in an injury settlement last Friday. The Eagles say he passed his physical and was there for practice on Tuesday, joined about halfway through practice. The Eagles released wide receiver B.J. Cunningham to clear a roster spot. It'd be interesting to see how Brad Smith fits in with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's 6'2", 213 pounds. He has versatility, and he can play receiver. He can, handle return work. He can play quarterback, as we know. He can be a Wildcat quarterback. Brad Smith now is the newest member of the Philadelphia Eagles just a few days after he was released by the Buffalo Bills. Other league news today, not good news for the Kansas City Chiefs. Wide receiver Dwayne Bowe was arrested early Sunday by police in Missouri for possession of marijuana and speeding. Chiefs GM John Dorsey said he was aware of the incident but would not come further. The Chiefs 9-0 coming off their bye week, getting ready to play the Broncos on Sunday night in Denver. According to a statement released by police in Missouri, Bowe was pulled over shortly before midnight Saturday for doing 48 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. The officer detected a strong odor of marijuana coming from the car. A search of the car by a canine dog, more than 10 grams of marijuana were found in two containers in Dwayne Bowe's car. A second passenger in the car was not arrested. Bowe was suspended for 4 years ago for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drug. That's separate from the substance abuse policy. Dwayne Bowe arrested early Sunday by police in Missouri. And some roster moves by the Houston Texans. They have released safety Ed Reed. They also put running back Arian Foster on injured reserve. Foster has a bulging disc and is scheduled to have back surgery in a couple of days in Los Angeles. Ed Reed, 9-time Pro Bowler, the prize acquisition of the Houston Texans during the offseason, said after the loss to Arizona on Sunday that the Texans were, quote, outplayed and outcoached in certain situations. Apparently, they did not sit well. Reed only played 12 snaps against the Cardinals. He is 35 years old. Reed said at the time, eventually they're going to figure out what you're doing if you're doing the same old things. Interim coach Wade Phillips said in response, everyone has an opinion. I'll keep mine in-house. And the final opinion and the final decision made today, Ed Reed released by the Houston Texans after not really contributing much and then sounding off about dissatisfaction with how much he played and what went on, and they lost to the Arizona Cardinals. There it is, the news of the day, the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Well, you know the news of the Bills game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know how that turned out. But the folks at Pro Football Focus have taken an in-depth look into that game as they do about every game. It's part of their refocus on the Bills game and every game in the NFL. ProFootballFocus.com, one of their analysts, Steve Palazzolo, is standing by to join us to talk more about the Bills and the Steelers. That's coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. My friends at NOCO have an 80th anniversary deal for you. When you replace your old natural gas and electric bill with a sensible new local energy program from NOCO, you'll get a $25 American Express gift card free. That's their way of thanking you for supporting a local family-owned company. NOCO has built customized plans that deliver flexibility and value beyond their competitors. Let NOCO's experience guide you when it comes to choosing the right natural gas and electric supplier for your home. Whether it's their fixed pricing plan, which locks in energy prices to avoid costly fluctuations, or their variable plan based on the market, chances are NOCO has the right program for you. Plus, you'll save on taxes and fees that you would typically pay with the utility. NOCO has even made switching from your current energy supplier hassle-free. Just log on to NOCO.com, click natural gas or electric, and hit enroll now. Your energy service will transition seamlessly. So what are you waiting for? Call 888-630-NOCO or log on to NOCO.com today. Remember to mention the promo code Murphy to claim your free $25 American Express gift card. Offers valid for new natural gas customers only.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. It's Tuesday night, and usually on Tuesdays, we like to check in with the folks from ProFootballFocus.com, a football analytics site. They always do a great review of the Bills game, every game in the NFL, and their refo item that goes up on Tuesdays. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, an analyst for Pro Football Focus. He also is a contributor to ESPN.com and a frequent guest on this show, Steve Palazzolo. Steve, thank you very much for being on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me back.
We got the Bills and the Steelers, and the refocus on that game is up now on the website, profootballfocus.com. A couple of interesting notes that the website makes, including how well Marcell Dareus has played both in this game and throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, definitely. It's a name that keeps coming up when we talk about the Bills, and I've been on the show before talking about he had a little bit of a slow start this year, and he's just gotten better and better. And he's been one of the better run defenders in the league, especially as an interior player. Extremely active again on Sunday. Had four hurries. One of which was the sack of Roethlisberger the strip sack of Roethlisberger. Plus four stops total, three of which came in the running game. So, Dareus is really starting to live up to his potential here.
You know, his game, and there was that play on Roethlisberger when he lined up kind of at left defensive end, and there was an earlier play when he was 20 yards downfield chasing down Emmanuel Sanders on an end-around. For a guy that big to move the way he does, it's pretty impressive, and I think he's moving better now than he has at any point during his NFL career.
Yeah, both plays absolutely jumped off. First, with that reverse that you mentioned, I mean, it looks like that play is going to the house or maybe at least for another 20 yards or so, and then Dareus comes out of nowhere to make the tackle. I mean, that was extremely impressive. And then very interesting what the Bills did defensively. They lined him up, like you said, at defensive end and right next to Kyle Williams, sorry. And they really stacked that one side, which assured a one-on-one matchup for Dareus. And he looked like what Mario Williams is supposed to look like off the edge, really, getting around the right tackle and making that play. So impressive athleticism. He showed impressive strength on the inside. It's just been a great step forward for Dareus so far.
Well, you bring up Mario Williams in Pro Football Focus review of the game, the refocus. It's pointed out that he had very little impact on the game. Mario Williams did not do much for the Bills in this game, did he?
No, he didn't. And, he's generally viewed as their best pass rusher, so there's always a little bit more attention thrown his way by opposing teams. But we're pretty much grading based off, did he get to the quarterback? And he really didn't. He only had the one hurry on 31 rushes and didn't make any tackles that in the running game. So, again, tackles are only a small portion of that. But just wasn't a big impact for Mario this week.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of the defensive line, I love when I read Pro Football Focus, Steve, and it sort of verifies what I see with the naked eye. And the fact that Alan Branch, who is, a backup, he's in there because Alex Carrington is out for the rest of the season. The fact that Alan Branch is grading out high indicates that my eyes are not deceiving me. The guy is playing pretty well up there on the defensive front for the Bills, isn't he?
Yeah, he definitely is. He looked really good early in the season in his backup role, and he stepped in nicely on Sunday. He was, Kyle Williams and Dareus get a lot of the publicity, and both Dareus and Williams got in on a number of tackles, but it was Branch who was also in there moving blockers and just creating havoc inside. So it was a really stout defensive line performance on Sunday.
We're on the line with Steve Palazzolo. He's an analyst for Pro Football Focus. Their refo, Bills at Steelers, Week 10, is up right now at ProFootballFocus.com. Rough game for E.J. Manuel. Anybody who watched the game saw that, and the numbers from the game bear it out as well. Right, Steve?
Yeah, we graded him at minus 2.6, minus 3.5 as a passer. And, it's similar growing pains to what we've seen earlier in the season. It's a conservative offense overall. They do throw the ball short. For the most part, but they did try to take a few shots for Manuel, and those just didn't work out. I think the the biggest issue with him with a couple of forced throws. It was almost as if he just completely made up his mind before the throw without even reading the coverage. One was a drop. I believe it was Ike Taylor along the sideline, just a drop interception that probably would have gone for a pick six. And then the actual interception that he threw was a little bit of a crowded pocket, but kind of just threw it up for grabs. And I think that's the concerning part for Manuel is the inaccuracy when he does have receivers open. And then it's the poor decision-making. You know, when the Bills are trying to take a shot down the field, he has to learn when it's not there, we do have to check down. But when it is there, or when a guy has just a little bit of separation, I got to pull the trigger and put it in a good spot. So kind of a fine line for Manuel there where you don't want to be overly aggressive, but you want to take those shots when you have them.
You know, EJ and all of the Bills quarterbacks this season have usually been the beneficiaries of a strong rushing attack. The Bills did not get that against the Steelers, and neither Fred Jackson or C.J. Spiller benefited from any missed tackles in this game.
Yeah, I think if you look at their previous game, and this was something I tweeted a couple weeks ago, a lot of times you look at rushing yards and you just immediately give credit to the offensive line. And I thought when they played against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, that was actually very much a Spiller and Jackson show. It was very much them making people miss a lot more so than the offensive line moving people. And I thought on Sunday it was kind of the opposite. I thought the offensive line did a fairly decent job opening holes in the running game, and either they couldn't find them or they just couldn't make that one guy miss. And if you think about how important that one missed tackle can be sometimes, you know, that's the difference between a 10, 20, 30 extra yards. So they couldn't make anybody miss on Sunday. The Steelers, you know, pretty much wrapped them up when they needed to, and you know, it was tough for them to get the running game going.
Steve, how often does it happen that a member of the losing team would be awarded with the Refo Pro Football Focus Game Ball? Marcel Darius was the Game Ball winner this week.
Yeah, it happens a little bit more than you think. We try to stay fairly true to the rankings or to the ratings, and as well as the impact on the game. So I think most of the time we'll err on the side of the winning team, but sometimes there's just a performance that you can't really ignore, and that was Darius on Sunday.
We're on the line with Steve Palazzolo, analyst for Pro Football Focus. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Hey, Steve, I really enjoyed a piece that you put up on ProFootballFocus.com last Friday. Palazzolo's pitch, Fool Me Once, and you say that one of the most underrated aspects of players is their ability to make adjustments within a game. Can you talk about what you saw there, including what you saw in the Bills-Kansas City game?
Yeah, I highlighted Dontari Poe for Kansas City, and it's one of those things when you watch, you know, we watch about 1,000 plays a week, you know, we're watching play over after play after play. You start to notice some trends, and I think, like anyone else, I want to come to a conclusion on a player and say that he's good at this or he's bad at that. And what you find when you're watching a guy over and over and over again, you might see them struggle at a particular play or a particular block, and immediately you want to say, hey, he's not good at this, so he's very good at this. But then what you see is that these guys are NFL players. They're really, really good, and they're good at making adjustments, and it's an underrated part of their game. So what happened with Poe is early in the game against the Bills, he got sealed out of a couple plays by Doug Ligurski. The Bills ran the same concept at him a couple times. And in my mind, I'm saying, hey, this is one of the better nose tackles in the league. The Bills may have found his weakness. But as the game progressed, the Bills rightly went back to that play and tried to have Ligurski steal him a couple more times, but Poe made a really good adjustment, saw it coming, and it was able to adjust to the block and actually get in on the tackle. So it was one of those things inside football, in the trenches, just really fun to watch it unfold, seeing one of the better nose tackles in the league adjust to what the offense is doing to him.
How great is it to be able to illustrate that with the use of video on the website, Steve? That's got to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it's great. It helps me because I don't have to do as much writing. But it's been a great addition to the site this week. And, you know, I think the more we have that, the more we can highlight things like offensive line play because, you know, words can only do so much justice when you're trying to describe a really good block or the really good shedding of a block. So we've tried to add that to the site as much as possible this year. I think it's been a really good addition.
When you talk about in-game adjustments, there's coaching at work here too, right?
Oh, absolutely. The coaches are always on the go, and there's always communication, and they're always trying to figure out, okay, what's working. And that's why when you see the Bills go back to that play that worked on Poe, I mean, that's good coaching. You figure you have to keep running that play until you stop it. And I think it's something like in baseball, we sometimes at the lower levels of baseball, guys just can't hit a curveball. You know, like, if a guy just can't do something, they can't make it to the major league. But this is the NFL, and I think it's similar. I think what separates the guys from, say, college or even what we see in the preseason, if a guy can't get – if he gets blocked a certain way every time, he's just not going to make it in this league. So you see those guys make those adjustments, and then the coaches have to come back and adjust off that and say, hey, this guy's adjusting. Now how do we get him the next time?
In the same piece on the website on Pro Football Focus, Steve, Palazzolo's Pitch, you point out Thursday night football, and you know, we all of us who are on the show or listening to the show, all of us love pro football, but I got to tell you, when it's not a Bills opponent or a team I'm familiar with, I'm having a hard time getting excited about Thursday night football games this year. They just have not been well-played games, and you've discovered through the use of analytics a possible reason why that might be the case.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of surfing through Twitter on a Thursday night and reading everybody's reaction while watching the game to realize, hey, this is an ugly game right now, and everybody's responding in a similar manner. And I think one of the effects of the short week we've started to see in missed tackle numbers. So after reading everybody's responses and then seeing some of the absurd missed tackle numbers that have come out of our recent Thursday night games, I did a quick research on the Thursday game this week versus a regular game. And what I found is that the average number of missed tackles for a regular NFL regular season game is about 12. And then on Thursday nights, it's about 16. So, again, going back to earlier what I said, a missed tackle can lead to a whole lot of yards and a huge difference in the game. And especially the last 2 weeks, the Thursday night games have been absolutely atrocious, with the Dolphins having 24 missed tackles, I believe it was, 2 weeks ago. And
yeah,
the Redskins and Vikings were both right around 15 or 16 each this past Thursday. So I don't know if it's a trend that's getting worse and worse as the season goes on and teams have that short week and it's hard to – you can't really have a physical practice leading up to Thursday. And these guys are still kind of beat up from their Sunday game. So it's something to keep an eye on as the season unfolds and these guys are continue to get even more and more worn down.
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes sense in a practical sense. The numbers show the missed tackles, and it makes sense that in a short week that guys would not be fully healed and maybe less likely to wrap up and to play physically just 4 days after their last game. That it kind of all fits in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of ugly Thursday night games, and I think part of that you're not able to prepare properly. There's not enough time, and like you said, you are pretty beat up. I can't imagine waking up on Monday morning what these guys feel like. So, you know, that process has to accelerate when you have to bounce back on a Thursday night game. And I understand why they have the Thursday night games. It makes sense that they want to feature every team in a primetime game at least once a year. But, you know, it hasn't been their best brand of football so far this season.
Hey, Steve, one of the things that Pro Football Focus has done pretty much over the last several weeks is chronicle the race for the Rookie of the Year. Right now, the website has Sheldon Richardson, defensive end for the Jets, as the number one candidate for Rookie of the Year. The Bills will get a good look at him coming up this Sunday. This guy's played well all season long, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. And he's an interesting player because one of the things on him coming out is everybody expected him to be, and I expected him to be, more of an elite interior pass rusher because he's got great first step quickness and he can really be a force getting into the backfield. And while he's still shown that ability, he's just been exceptional against the run this year. Pretty much the entire Jets defensive line has been great against the run. So Richardson's been a huge part of that. They move him around along the defensive line, kind of like what they were doing with Darius in Buffalo on Sunday. So, you know, he's definitely a guy to watch. Just been a very impressive force against the run so far.
And as you know, and the guys at Pro Football Focus know, there is a large and apparently vocal portion of Bills fans who are lobbying hard for Kiko Alonso to be the Rookie of the Year. And he's right in there. He's among the leaders, right?
He certainly is. He's at number four right now. And I think he's just been really, really good in coverage from early in the season, jumping routes and picking passes off. I think the only thing that's really held him back, you know, he's been really, really good. We have to obviously be picky at times. The thing that's held him back is a couple blips in the running game where he's missed a gap here and there or just been a little bit late into the hole to meet the running back. So it's been a really great rookie season for Kiko. He's been a really good playmaker, and he'll be right in the race till the end, it looks like.
Steve, we always look forward to Pro Football Focus with the refo of each Bills game, and we look forward to talking with you and your guys about it. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Steve Palazzolo is an analyst and a writer for ProFootballFocus.com. Up on the website right now, their refo, Bills at Steelers, their refocus on the Week 10 game, including grades for all of the Bills players, all the Steelers players as well. Check it out at ProFootballFocus.com. Steve Palazzolo joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway restaurants have a special offer for Bills fans when the Bills score 20 points or more at home. Visit BuffaloBills.com after all home games for details. Subway, eat fresh. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. This year, our friends at NOCO are celebrating their 80th anniversary. Family-owned, locally-operated NOCO, your complete source of energy products for your home, including natural gas, electricity, heating oil, and propane. NOCO also installs, maintains, and repairs heating and cooling equipment. If you're looking to manage your energy bills, NOCO Natural Gas and Electric offers more program options than the utility. And NOCO's market program allows customers to take full advantage of the tax, fee, and tariff savings that are not available through the utility. NOCO also offers a fixed energy price program for the budget-minded buyer, allowing customers to lock in a low rate for 12 months regardless of the market. Visit them online, NOCO.com, or call 833-NOCO and learn more about what NOCO can do for you.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, thanks to Steve Palazzolo for joining us. Again, check him out, ProFootballFocus.com. For us here, in our department anyway, in the digital media department at One Bills Drive, it is a must-read on Tuesdays to look at what they how they grade out. And not that they're – are they revelations? No. But what it does is you sort of verify with grades what you see when you watch the games or rewatch it, if the case may be. Check it out, ProFootballFocus.com, and we thank Steve Palazzolo for joining us tonight to talk about that. Speaking of stuff online, some very good stuff at BuffaloBills.com right now. You've got my From the Booth written story up there on the website. And we've also got Wired for Sound. It is Leotis McKelvin, Wired for Sound in the Bills-Steelers game. You don't want to miss it. Leotis clearly having a lot of fun out there playing the game. You probably want to check that out at BuffaloBills.com. Hey, the Bills want you to know about a special electronic recycling drive coming up a little bit later on this month. Saturday, November 23rd, a couple of weeks away. Saturday, November 23rd, that's the bye weekend. From 10 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Saturday, the Bills and Republic Services are hosting an electronic recycling drive here at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So around the house, you round up your old TVs, your computers, cell phones, anything with a plug, and it will be recycled safely. For more information on the event and the accepted items, you can visit buffalobills.com/electronic recycling. No charge to drop off. It'll take place in parking lot 1 just off Big Tree Road near the Healthy own fieldhouse. There'll be Bills alumni there, Billy Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills. You'll get a coupon to the Bills store when you drop off. But it's coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a week from this Saturday, right? Saturday, November 23rd, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Buffalo Bills and Republic Services with their electronic recycling drive. We'll talk more about that in the next week or so, but put that on your calendar. Take a look around the house and see what kind of electronics you may want to get rid of. Well, fans, thank you for voting this week for the Bills Player of the Week. Powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills, the votes have come in, and this week's winning player, Jerry Hughes. Jerry Hughes got 41% of the votes at Blue Rock Energy's Player of the Week contest. Jarris Bird, second place with 26%. Marcel Darius, third place with 18%. Kyle Williams, fourth place with 15%. No surprise that all four Player of the Week, top four vote-getters anyway, were on the defensive side of the ball. Jerry Hughes, the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week. And don't forget, you can start voting the morning after each game in order to be eligible to win exclusive Bills, giveaways, and prizes throughout the season, courtesy of Blue Rock Energy. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. Coming up, we are back on the radio live tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and among our guests, our usual Wednesday guest, Thurman Thomas, will be joining us for his take on the Bills and the Steelers. This Sunday, Jay Reimersma, longtime Bills tight end, will be the leader of the charge, standing up above the tunnel, waving the flag as the Bills take the field. Jay Reimersma, who's had an interesting post-football career, including dabbling in politics, he'll be joining us live tomorrow night at 8:30 to talk about coming back to be the leader of the charge. Also tomorrow night, we'll check with the Buffalo Bills locker room, get updates on what's going on, and probably have a player guest with us tomorrow as well. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills' director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, for the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.